strength of Adonai in your backs. For our Lord is worthy. To serve Him, work with purpose, for we build the kingdom. Stack your bricks, clutch your sword. Stack your bricks, clutch your sword.
Welcome to the Pro-Life Team Podcast. I'm Pro-Life Leader Frank Pavone, Director of Priests for Life and Gospel of Life Ministries. You have seen me on this podcast before, together with our friend and colleague Jacob Barr, for whose leadership I'm always grateful. He's such a great networker, and he has launched this podcast that has blessed so many people, helped so many pro-life pregnancy centers and others, and it's always a delight for me to join this great audience. So God bless all of you for what you do. We are joined today by a very special guest. We're going to introduce her briefly, and we're going to pray, Jerry Guzman. And you may have heard of his nesting place in Southern California. She's going to tell us all about it. I've been familiar with it, not just for years, but for decades, and with her wonderful parents, Pastor Al and Judy Howard. And she's going to tell us all about the wonderful work that she does. But let's all turn to the Lord of life now, the Lord of hope, and ask Him to pour out His blessings, especially on those who are considering abortion. Father, we come to you as the God of life and of hope. We know, Lord, that life is the greatest good that we have and that we need to defend it in your name. We know that hope is a blessing that you give us, which gives us the strength to say yes to life. Lord God, our mission in this great pro-life effort is to replace despair with hope. The despair that leads so many people to the doors of the abortion centers throughout our country. It is not freedom of choice that is leading them there, but the feeling that they have no freedom and no choice. And we, your people, step into that gap, step into the darkness of that despair, accompany your sons and daughters on that difficult journey. And we reach out our hands and we say, God is with you. We are with you. Come with us and do what you know is right. Bless our efforts that we may continue to be that instrument of life and of hope, and bless all the centers throughout this nation, pregnancy centers, maternity homes, and so many other entities that are working, Lord God, seeking your guidance, working under the inspiration of your Spirit and saving lives every day and healing hearts. Bless us now as we speak, and may this conversation inspire us to even more effective action for life. We pray through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Well, Jerry, it's great to be with you. How are you doing? And tell us, for those that are not familiar with the story, that the history behind his nesting place. This brings us back all the way to the 1970s and to the rescue movement, right?
Right. Yeah, his nesting place goes really, really far back. And thank you, Father Pavone and Jacob, for having us on today. It's a privilege to share about what we do. His nesting place started in 1983, so we're going on our 42nd anniversary this year. Mm-hmm. And it started with my parents, Pastor Al and Judy Howard, who got involved through through Operation Rescue. So they were out, you know, at the clinics and getting arrested all the time. And, you know, they always joke about, you know, how they're jailbirds and things like that. But, you know, they were heavily involved in the cause of Operation Rescue. In fact, my father was the president of that for a long time. And then they started getting involved in their own local abortion clinics. And they kept finding that, you know, the women needed something after they chose life. So they said, okay, well, you can come and live in our house. And at that time, they had a lot of children living with them. So the house got full. They took them into their church in Downey. The city of Downey sued them because it didn't look quite nice in the city of Downey. And then God opened up the doors here in Long Beach for us. And we have a beautiful facility that we've been running here now for 42 years. And we've been saving lives. In fact, as I was driving to work today, I saw my mom outside of the abortion clinic this morning. She's still out there doing that.
Wow.
And we're still helping women, and not just when they make the choice to choose life, but after, and continue to support them.
You know, isn't it amazing how when people think about Operation Rescue, I mean, this has been one of those dimensions of the pro-life movement that many, many, many people have a very negative idea about. And of course, you know, a lot of that is because it's so effective and the other side tries very hard to paint a negative picture. But people think that we're there hating women, harassing women, doing violence, all kinds of crazy things. And yet the history that your parents exhibit, and that has been seen, of course, in the lives of countless others, is precisely that the people who are there rescuing are there with the heart of God. I mean, otherwise, how would they have even cared to say, come to our home? You know, they're not there with a selfish heart, a hateful heart, a violent heart. It's an open, loving heart that's open so wide that not only are they sacrificing their time and effort to be there at those killing centers and even to be willing to be thrown in jail, but to them to say, come with us. We're here for you, with you, like I said in the prayer. We're here for you in the name of God. And that also means come with us We will help you to do what is right. Now, you grew up with this. Did they bring you at times out in front of the abortion centers as a little girl? Tell us how that whole experience impacted you.
They brought me to the rescues, and they brought me even to jail. My mom, I don't remember. I don't have a fond memory of it because I was just a baby at the time. But they absolutely did have me at a lot of these events. My older brothers do remember, you know, holding up these signs and, you know, on their Saturday mornings, not cartoons, they were out there, you know, marching for the unborn. So,
yeah
we were all raised with that.
And you know, of course, your dad is a pastor, you know, and your parents have been committed to preaching the gospel. And, you know, it reminds me of the scripture, doesn't it? Bring your children up in the ways of the Lord. You know, some people would question that too. Like, why would you bring your children out in front of these, you know, these protests and these abortion facilities? But I've always said to people, listen, this trains them in the ways of the Lord. How would you address people who ask that question? Oh, should we bring our children out there?
Well, you know, I would say what is a better option? Having them with a babysitter in front of a screen or with a stranger, you know? Even at church sometimes, I even bring my children instead of doing like junior church. I think it's wonderful for the children, whether they understand what's going on or not, there is a seed being planted in their lives in that moment. And one day they'll hopefully look back and the Lord will put it on them to continue the legacy, like the legacy that my parents left to me.
Right, right. Yeah. Well, that certainly happened. Now, right away, your parents faced the reality of the intersection between the kingdom of God and what he inspires in our hearts and the realities of this world, you know, because the city wasn't too happy. Expand on that, his part of the history a little bit. Here they are doing the most loving thing in the world, the most unselfish thing, opening their own home to these moms in need. And then what in the world was wrong with the city that they came down on them for that?
You know, I really don't know. I guess there was complaints from neighbors who just didn't like what they were doing. And, you know, it's just kind of ironic because, you know, the pro-choicers are always saying, you know, well, what are you going to do when the mom does choose life? And here they were giving them an opportunity to choose life and support them and keep their babies. And yet it wasn't good for them, you know? So it was terrible. You know, they sued them, and thank God, by the grace of God, they did win that. And like I said, this facility here in Long Beach, it's just kind of amazing. Cause at the time my dad said that he needed a $10,000 down payment to have this facility, and he had nothing. He had no money. They had no funding. They didn't even really start his nesting place yet. And he just prayed. He said, Lord, if this is where you want me to be, can you provide that? And he said, literally one day a priest drove by the facility, came in, and he wrote a check for $10,000 to my dad. He said, the Lord told me I needed to give you this. I don't know why, but here it is. And it was just like God just knew the need that they had, despite what, you know, the city of Downey had put them through.
Isn't that something? And, you know, like you said, praise God that they won that challenge, but also praise God that they had the will to fight it, because so many people, they face these challenges and then they just back away, which is, of course, what a lot of the enemies of the pro-life movement and of the gospel want us to do. But they said, no, we see the need here. The lawsuit from the city didn't deter them. And the other thing that didn't deter them, like you just said, was lack of resources. I mean, how many people will be afraid to pursue good activity that they know is good and they know is godly because they say, oh, well, you know, there's not many money for it. I remember, my new mother, Teresa, and, you know, she did very much like what we're talking about your parents did. She would go to the abortion facilities and pull the women away with her hands. She would take them by the arm. Say, come with us. Come with our sisters. We'll help you. Right. But she always was asked the same thing. Says, well, you know, what if you don't have the resources? And you know what her response was? She said, God has lots of money. And that story of the how they got that $10,000. I mean, this is how it happens, right? The body of Christ comes together. And this was a work, obviously, that sprang from their pastor's hearts, their pastor's spirit, your parents, that they knew they were doing the work of God, and God blessed it. So tell us then the further development, how it became his nesting place.
Yeah, it started actually with my mom. She was the one that was really getting involved with not just Operation Rescue, but there's a film, I forget the name of it. It goes all the way back and it shows an actual abortion, and it just broke her heart. So she started going to different churches and people and just trying to spread awareness of what abortion actually does and what it looks like. And my dad was just, no, he didn't want to touch it. You know, like many pastors, unfortunately, he didn't want to speak about that at the pulpit. He didn't want to offend people. And, you know, he was just absolutely against talking about it. And then one day he went to a conference where the Lord just put a vision in his heart where he just saw thousands of children just running on the ground. And he said he broke down and he wept just for hours and hours. And then from there on, that's when they started going to the abortion clinics themselves and taking the women in. So it really started with the burden on my mom's heart.
So many good works to start just like that. Now you are kind of taking the mantle. Tell us day to day what that means for you. What kind of activities of service are occupying your day?
Yeah, so I'm currently running the women's home and just making sure that everything runs smoothly on the day to day. But interestingly enough, 15 years ago, I was a mother at his nesting place myself. You would think me growing up here in the home, I would, you know, have learned from the mothers and I would have learned from all these stories. But no, I had to learn my own way. And I was a pretty wild pastor's child, as they call it. And so I was a mom in the home myself 16 years ago. And I always say now that I would never be able to do this kind of work if I wouldn't have gone through it myself. And many times I've tried to actually look for other things and try to get out of this, but the Lord, now I know he wants me here, and it's been such a blessing to serve here. So yeah, I work alongside the women here and encourage them. And I always try to let them know, you know, although, you know, maybe I'm the women's home director, but I'm still a former mom too. I was in your shoes and I know what you're going through. And now my daughter, who's 16, is she volunteers here herself. And I'm married now and have a child now, but and one on the way. So it's a blessing to truly see God's hand in this ministry. And like I said, I would never be able to do this work if I hadn't been a mom myself. God really was able to use my craziness for his glory and help the other moms through that.
It gives you a great deal of credibility and opportunity to the ability to understand and connect with the stories and the difficulties that these women face. I'd like you to address that for a moment too, because, you know, abortion, the whole issue has so many different dimensions. And I think a lot of people, especially maybe first getting involved in the movement, and I know this was true with me. I remember very distinctively when I moved from a more conceptual view of the issue. I mean, I was thinking, I was when I got involved in the pro-life movement, I was studying philosophy. So I look at it from a philosophical standpoint. I already was feeling the call to ministry myself. So I was thinking of it from a biblical standpoint, theological, and then, of course, logically, you know, the arguments back and forth, pro-life, pro-choice. But I remember very specifically at a certain moment, I was watching one of those powerful videos, but this video was about the pregnancy center movement. And there was a scene there of, you know, a young woman, like in the situation you found yourself and the women that you serve, the mothers that you help, where there were serious difficulties, serious obstacles in the way. And knowing what was right didn't take away the challenge of those obstacles. And I experienced this shift from just opposing abortion theoretically and conceptually to really feeling and understanding to the extent that I could the kind of despair, the kind of fear, the real tough circumstances that people are in that could tempt them to have an abortion. Talk to us a little bit about how we, all of us that are watching now, many of whom, of course, are involved in this similar kind of work, how we help people cross that. It's not like, you know, in contrast, it's just like completing or fulfilling the way we look at abortion. It's got to be that real understanding of the real pain that people are in, and that it's not simply a choice of knowing that it's right or wrong. It's really the courage to face those obstacles. And we have to have that compassion to know those obstacles that they are facing.
Yeah, it's very sensitive and it's very tricky. And I always say, you know, you can't just save the baby. You also have to save the mother. And along with saving her, you know, that's one step at the abortion clinic. And then there's the pregnancy center that does, you know, the a lot of things that they do that are wonderful and beneficial. Yeah. But there's many areas with every single mom with a different circumstance, whether that's rehabilitating herself or whether that's working on past traumas or, you know, our biggest thing at His Nesting Place is that we believe that true change comes from the gospel, and we really want them to change their hearts, you know, and their lives around. I always tell them it's not just a place to lay, but it's a place to change your life. And so it really is sensitive. And the biggest thing is just having grace, because none of us are perfect, especially these moms who didn't even know, you know. So it's just really about being really sensitive to the woman's needs.
Yes.
At His Nesting Place, we take in all kinds of moms, not just abortion-minded moms. We take in moms with past abuse or substance abuse or many walks of life. But when it comes to like an abortion-minded mom, which we would call a turnaround at the abortion clinics, we don't even give them the rules here. We just bypass that and we just don't tell anybody, but we just bring them in and we just show them love and we just give them all the support that they need, because the rules can defer them a little bit. And we just want to be so sensitive at making sure that they know that they have a safe home to live and to keep their baby. And we just want to do everything we can to just protect that baby and protect them at the same time. Right now we have one at the moment where we're just like, absolutely no rules. We're just kind of let her do what she wants in a way, but supporting her and loving her along the way. And, you know, the rules will come as they go and whatnot, but we just have to be so sensitive to what she needs at the moment. Like right now, one of them is going through domestic violence. So we just want to make sure that she's protected and that her address is secure and that she's doing the steps to keep herself safe at the moment. So,
yeah. Sounds like your main rule is compassion.
It is. We always say we have all these rules, but we don't even follow them sometimes because we have so much grace.
This is wonderful. Well, for those that are just joining us, we welcome to the Pro-Life Team podcast, Jacob Barr's podcast. He's graciously invited me to host this conversation with Jerry Guzman from Southern California. She is the maternity home director at His Nesting Place, and her parents are Pastor Al and Judy Howard, that many who have been involved in the pro-life movement for decades will recognize, of course, those names. Tell us some of the stories, Jerry. I know on this podcast that Jacob loves to just get some of the stories out there, day-to-day stories, the interactions, the encounters, some of the more memorable experiences that you've had so far in helping these moms.
Yeah, sure. Well, this one I have an experience, but my dad shares it all the time, and I just have to share it because it's a tearjerker. It's really, really good. So one day my dad woke up in the morning to do his sidewalk counseling, and he was arguing with the Lord before he left because it was raining and he was comfortable and he was warm, and he was just arguing with God and saying that he didn't want to get out of bed. He's comfortable. He wanted to stay there, and he felt the Lord just putting that on his heart that he has to go. He has to go. It doesn't matter. So he went, and it's pouring rain. There was nobody there. And he felt like, come on, God, why did I do this? And then from a distance, he sees this little petite little woman, and she's walking towards him, and she was about to go in, and he got in her way. And he was just like, I don't even know what I was thinking. I would never step in someone's way to do that. But he said, God brought me here today, and he told me that you can't go in there and have this abortion. And she was like, what do you mean? I am, you know, already got my appointment. I have all this ready to go. And my dad was arguing with her, and she finally confessed to him that this was not even her husband's baby. Her husband was all the way in the serving in the army, and it was another man's baby. And my dad pleaded with her and said, if he really loves you, he will support this baby. He said he even got on his knees. He said he looked like a crazy white man with this, you know, young black woman looking crazy in the pouring rain on his knees, pleading with her. And she decided to keep life that day.
Wow.
And 5 years later, it goes by, and he's preaching at church here. Because his destiny place, by the way, is also a church in-house here. And he was preaching a service one day, and before he closed, he was asking anyone if they had anything they'd like to share or testimony. And all the way in the back, this young, beautiful black woman raised her hand, and he didn't recognize her. And she said, I don't have anything to share, when she got the mic. She said, but he does. And it was this little boy who's about 5 years old, and he said, thank you for saving my life. So that's just one of the best stories. It's the story of Angie. We have it printed out. It's a bulletin, and it's just,
yeah,
it's got a lot more depth in it than I can share, but it's just one of my favorite stories because, you know, sometimes you don't see the fruit right away, but
right.
But it's so encouraging.
And yeah, we've got to tell those stories. We've got to pass those along. We've got to use those in talks and in churches. Hopefully preachers use stories like this in their sermons. And, you know, God gives us these experiences to keep us going and encourage us. You know, one of the big themes here too is the men, the fathers. You know, we think about a maternity home, but we know maternity and paternity go hand in hand. And if we're going to build a culture of life, we have to be building up the family. Tell us how some of maybe the insights from your experience about the role of the fathers and how does that work with a maternity home like you're directing now? How do you provide for and help these dads?
Good question. You know, it's kind of interesting because the majority of the time the fathers are just not involved, unfortunately. Right. It's so sad to see that. But we've seen in the last 4 or 5 months, all of the boyfriends have been supporting their moms. And, you know, like I said, we have church here. They've all been coming to church. So they're all getting that support. They go to the classes with the mom. So I do wish we had more focus on some way to support the fathers in their own way. But they are able to come to church here and attend the classes with the moms and go to the other services that we offer here for the moms as well. And so we've actually seen a rise recently in all the boyfriends supporting the moms and coming here and working on themselves as well. So it's really been a blessing. But I will say there, I know that there's resources out there for the fathers that we kind of lead them to.
So, yeah, that's what I was going to say. You make it known to the community. In other words, as you advertise his nesting place, you say, look, we have a maternity home here. You're making it clear from square one, you know, dads, we're not excluding you. You know,
no.
they exclude themselves. Mm-hmm. Like you say, sadly, they're often not even in the picture. But we're not excluding you. You are welcome here. There are resources here. We want you to participate in the process.
We want them to get married. We want the families to stay together. That's what we would love for all of them. My parents have married several families. One of them recently just reunited with her husband. And, you know, that's our goal, is if they're still together and they're coming to church, we do try to give them encouragement on when they're ready to start talking about marriage and, you know, being a family unit.
Right. Some happy stories about that when you get more to the end of the process, you know, they've come through the time that they need to spend. How long do they usually spend, by the way, on the average in the home?
That's a wonderful, unique thing about his nesting places. When they first come in, they get a probation, and that just determines both for our ends, if our home is going to work out for both of us. Once they pass that and they feel like it's a good fit for them, we tell them as long as they're going to school and they're working, they're following the policies here, they don't have a time limit.
Yeah.
Okay. Just had a girl leave last month who was here for almost 3 years. So
wow.
She worked on herself, went to school, got a car, and got her own place. So it's we say as long as they're ready, you know.
Yeah.
We actually don't want them to leave prematurely. A lot of times,
right,
some of these homes do have, you know, a certain amount of time this time, but every story and circumstance is different.
Sure. Well, what about the parents? of these moms? I mean, I you mentioned, of course, one of them dealing with their situations, of course, of domestic violence that you have to handle and whatnot. But tell us, maybe give us some guidance, especially those that might be doing this work elsewhere or seeking to do it. How does all that work? Interaction with the parents of these moms.
Right. Yeah. We encourage all the family to come to church so that way we can all work together. But it's definitely tricky because sometimes the parents can be supportive, but not in a way that is beneficial to a mom. So the mom can kind of learn from the behavior of their parent, which is kind of just, you know, living off of the government and kind of not really wanting to proceed in life with, you know, being independent or going to school or working or just furthering, you know, themselves to be independent. Sometimes they just kind of learn from what they have and their parents encourage them in the wrong way. But then sometimes we do have parents who kind of are done with their children and they're just at their wit's end and we're that second, you know, resort for them to, you know, give them that lifeline to help them out. So it really just depends. It varies. Sometimes they can be the enabler and sometimes they can help us to push this mom to keep, you know, going.
Those that are just joining us, welcome. I'm Pro-Life Leader Frank Pavone of Priests for Life, and this is the Pro-Life Team Podcast. We're talking with Jerry Guzman here from his nesting place. She's maternity home director. And Jerry, do you have a chance to interact with other directors of other maternity homes? I know that there are some networks of communication and collaboration, and how do you find that to be helpful?
Yeah, so we work with an organization, I'm sure you know it, the Right to Life League, and they have annual maternity home meetings, and I haven't been able recently to attend as many as I'd like, and I do think that that's something that we as a maternity home collective need to work on more, is to work together more to see how we can, you know, collaborate and see what our struggles are and how we can encourage one another. So I do see them sometimes through the Right to Life League, but I wish that there could be more of an involvement. That is something that I want to pursue.
Yeah, it's important. Yes, the networking is so crucial. And as part of that, I wanted to think for a moment here about in the viewing audience. You know, there'll be others that are doing this work or maybe thinking of doing this work. Share with them some of the challenges. Being a director of something like this is not easy. It's fulfilling and it has many beautiful moments, and we know why we do it. But take a few moments to kind of go into a mentoring role. If you were sitting down with somebody who says, "I want to do the kind of work that you do," well, what kind of things would you want to kind of warn them about, or listen, you got to be prepared for this. Here are some of the challenges and some examples of how you've handled some of the toughest challenges.
Sure. Well, the first thing I would say is you cannot look at this like it's a job. You don't come in here to clock in and clock out. And when you go home, the job is still not over because we live with the women. You know, when I go home, they don't just disappear. They're still here. And sometimes we work overtime and sometimes, you know, these girls, they come in and they have a lot of, I don't want to call it baggage because we all have, you know, problems, but they have a lot that they're carrying on them, burdens, that's what I'll call it. They have a lot of burdens and we try to carry that burdens with them so the weight is not all on them. And it's spiritual too. It's spiritual. The enemy hates what we're doing. He hates that we're saving lives. He hates that we're not just saving babies' lives, but we're trying to save these moms' lives. So it's definitely a spiritual journey and you have to be ready for that. Not just physically, but spiritually, emotionally, and prepared to do that. There's a lot that goes into it. I was going to furthermore on that and I lost my train of thought. Sorry.
And there are a lot of spiritual and biblical resources, I'm sure, that you use to sustain your strength in doing this mission as well, right? I'm sure your parents have given you a lot of that kind of training.
Yeah, that's why it's so important with us. When the moms wake up, that's the first thing that we all do is we all pray together first thing in the morning, and then we all try to pray together as a staff. So that way we can make sure that we're equipped and we're strengthened and we're ready also.
Do you have among the moms that you serve people who have had some past experience with abortion? You know, very often having an abortion will lead to promiscuous behavior, and it may put them back into this situation of an unexpected pregnancy. Tell me about that dimension of it.
Yeah, so we do spiritual counseling with my mom is the one that does that. And so okay. If a mom has had an abortion or even like a staff member has had an abortion, there's a ministry that we work with. Cannot remember. It's Mark and Tigra Little.
Okay.
Yeah, they have a ministry for moms specifically who are carrying that grief from abortion. And they can work on that self-forgiveness and healing through that.
Yes, yes, so important. Do you get a chance to speak in other churches to promote the work of the maternity home?
You know, that's something that we've actually been talking about recently is that's how His Nesting Place started is its funding was through Catholic churches, actually.
Oh, okay.
So we were always thankful for the Catholic community for opening its doors to us. My mm-hmm. parents would wake up at 4 a.m. to be at the Mass at 5 a.m. and they would be at every Mass until 9 p.m. And I remember on the weekends, too, when I was in high school, I would go and sell roses after the church and they would let us speak. But after COVID, everything closed its doors and everything changed. A lot of the fathers retired. So those opportunities did kind of close for us, unfortunately. But thankfully, the Lord sustained us and we were able to continue to keep our doors open despite not doing the majority of our fundraising, which was doing what we called those pro-life weekends. So we're so thankful that we don't have to spend those long weekends at every Mass on Sunday, but we do realize we do need to get back into the churches, whether it's Catholic or Christian or, you know, we do need to get more speaking engagements. So I'm happy you asked that.
Yeah, it's, of course, that's been at the core of our ministry. And, you know, the church is the gathering place where people who are most likely to be responsive to this message are coming every day, coming every Sunday. And we really have to show the pastors, going back to a point we were making earlier, we have to show them the heart of the pro-life movement. It is, I always like to summarize it with, you know, the gospel words, I am with you. When Jesus is born, you know, the Gospel of Matthew tells us he shall be called Emmanuel, a name that means God is with us. And then before he ascends into heaven at the end of Matthew's gospel, I will be with you always until the end of the world. And then the book of Revelation, God will be with them and he will be their God and they will be his people. And this nearness of God to his people, isn't that ultimately the biblical way of summarizing the work you do, the work that the pregnancy centers do, the work that the whole pro-life movement does? We want to be with these people in need.
Exactly. That's why my dad named the church His Nesting Place. A lot of people say, you should name it Her Nesting Place. No, it's his, this is where the women nest. And if you see our logo, it's two hands holding a nest, you know. And so it's truly, it's his ministry. It's his work. And he gets all the glory, and we truly need him for every step of this ministry, every step of the way.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that. I was going to ask you about the origin of the name. Yeah, I mean, it's a biblical reference to the fact that God, there it is. Oh, take a good, hold that there near the camera. Yeah. His nesting place. Well, you'll see the hands of God himself, right?
Yeah. Yeah, that's
God right. himself provides the that security. To say, I can do this, that courage, that hope, like we were saying in the opening prayer, you know, there's despair out there that's leading people to the abortion facilities. But the hope comes from the one whose nesting place it is and holds us in his hands. Mm-hmm. What other stories do you have to share with how long have you been doing this now, Jerry?
I have been here since 2014. So almost 11 years now I've been here. Yeah. One story right now that I'm just so excited, always excited to share about. We have a mom who's currently in our home. And when she first came here, she had 5 other children with her. She had fled from a domestic violence situation. She had recently just used drugs. And So when I first met her, I was just like, okay, and this girl's having another child. Like, I don't know how we're going to, you know, do this. And, you know, the whole family had lice, and it was just, you know, but God has such mercy and grace. And I'm so glad that he also gives me, I feel, discernment to allow these moms to give them a chance. Cause you know, not everybody qualifies.
Right.
And thankfully our home is set up to accept moms with multiple children. And some of the rooms, I don't know if you've been here before, but they adjoin. So she was able to get two bedrooms that adjoin together. And since she's been here, she's gotten completely sober. She's had her son. Mm. She came in without a license or insurance or any of that. She got all that. She completely, you know, all the lice was taken care of and all that. She's been here almost a year now. Her boyfriend's attending church. And she is just such a great example and an incredible witness to the Lord and how her life has completely, even her children who didn't really want to talk to us. They were closed off and shy. They just all hug us and love us. And it's just so nice to see not only the mom being affected through this, but also the children as well. And the children's lives transmit. And the children calling it home because, you know, there's pressure for her to, you know, look for another place. But even she said, I'm not ready yet and I need to be here. And I just love that she can recognize that. And she's still working on rehabilitating herself. And she's always volunteering. In fact, we give awards for the moms when they are volunteering so many hours or they're doing so good. And she's won all kinds of awards for doing that. And our incentive award program, she's gotten that, which allows them to save an enormous amount of money. So she's just been such a great example. Her and she's got six kids now. So, yeah, it's been a blessing. That's my favorite right now.
what was the age of the youngest mom that you've ever served?
The youngest I'll say is 18, but we've had moms who are 17 and we're like, move in when you're 18 because by law, we can't take in minors, but we have had a mom who actually, her mom worked here for a long time. And she told me, you know, I've already scheduled my appointment and I need somewhere to go. She was about to have this abortion and she wasn't 18. I said, you know what? You'll be 18 in a month. Just come. And she came in.
Then. Yeah.
And she kept her baby. And so, you know, we kind of blur the line a little bit. But 18 is the youngest that we've helped.
Now, one other set of questions I wanted to ask you, and for those that are just joining us, this is the Pro-Life Team podcast. I'm Pro-Life Leader Frank Pavone of Priests for Life, and we're talking with Jerry Guzman, who heads up the paternity home, his nesting place, Southern California. And the story of the beginning of this work by your mom and dad, they faced right away a lawsuit from the city. Okay, they didn't like what they were doing and they fought that and they won against that and they were able to continue this work of God. But we all know California is not an easy place to do pro-life work, faith work, church work. And the politicians there, they're always trying to put obstacles in the way of the pregnancy centers. We at Priests for Life, we've been involved with a number of our colleagues in pro-life leadership who have fought battles all the way to the Supreme Court with the, you know, the law that they had passed in California, for example, telling the pregnancy centers that they had to post information about the nearby abortion clinics. You know, I mean, it's like Alcoholics Anonymous giving people advertisements for the local liquor store. I mean, it's so ridiculous, right? But they, of course, the pro-life people won that lawsuit all the way up to the Supreme Court. But so I want to explore with you, just have you had to face with his nesting place any of these kind of battles with the state of California or the pro-abortion groups that just try to constantly put legal obstacles in the way of our work?
When you mentioned that, are you talking about the sign that pregnancy centers have? That was actually started with his nesting place. It started with us. So that was, that was all Kamala that was doing all of that.
Tell the people the history of that if they don't know that case.
In detail too much, but my mom's always told me, you know, that whole thing started with us. They told us, his nesting place, that we had to have a sign on our door that promoted and gave the women options for abortion clinics, which is like,
right,
what you said, like very ironic and very, very silly, you know?
Yeah.
So we fought it, and some attorneys offered, I forgot their name, but they offered to do that on behalf of us, and we obviously won that. So praise God. You know,
that's right. That was the NIFLA versus Becerra case. It started with Kamala Harris, and then she was succeeded by Becerra. And that's right. And they went all the way up to the Supreme Court. And just a handful of years ago, it was a victory for the pro-life side, because, I mean, it's freedom of speech and it's freedom of religion. You know, we want to go in there and we want to speak life, and we want to speak hope, and we want to steer them away from abortion, and we want to show them God's love. And we should have the right to do that unhindered, without any push in the opposite direction. So God bless you for persevering in that. It's another testimony that God's hand is on his nesting place, and it's wonderful work. It's so great talking with you. Any final thoughts you want to share with our audience? And please do tell them, Jerry, where to go online to connect with your work.
Sure. Thank you, Father Pavone. I would just say, you know, if you are interested in coming and visiting his nesting place, I can even give you a tour. If you're in the local area, I would love to have you. We love showing people what we do. Even if you're pro-choice, at least see what we're offering. At least see what the other side has to give these moms. Because the argument, like I said, is always, well, how are you going to support the mom after they choose life? And I always, it's funny, my mom has these big magnets on her car that says, choose life with babies on God's hands. And somebody pulled down their window and they said, what are you going to do when a mom does choose life if they don't have an abortion? She goes, well, I've helped 10,000 of them. So, you know, that's what we do. And if you'd like to come to our tour at his nesting place, we're here in Long Beach. You can visit our website. It's hisnestingplace.org. And we're also on Instagram, which is His Nesting Place Ministries. We have a banquet this year. We only do one fundraiser a year. We don't have any other fundraisers besides doing, you know, our newsletters every month. And that's September 26th, Friday. And that's also in Long Beach at the Grand. And I'm not sure if you're familiar with Kaya Jones. She'll be our guest speaker. She was speaker in the Pussycat Dolls, and she's got a great testimony, and she'll be a powerful speaker for that. But
beautiful.
Yeah. And like what you said, you know, it's really hard to do this work in California when the pushback is so strong.
Yep.
It really is. But this is exactly where we need to be, because I would love to go live in Texas on a farm, but that's not where the babies are dying. There's so many babies that are dying every day, too many to die. And especially in communities like Long Beach, and, you know, Compton and the surrounding areas. So this is where it's needed. Although it's not comfortable, it's where God has us, and God's sustained us. And if you want to get involved, again, it's not comfortable, but this, God will supply your needs, and God will advocate for you, just like he has for us and for you guys. And we're just so blessed. So I always think of the verse what David said, what the devil meant for harm and evil, God meant for good, you know?
Yes.
So that's always happening. You know, again, it's a spiritual battle here. It's life and death.
It is. And you are serving life well. Hisnestingplace.org, brothers and sisters, please do go there. You'll be inspired. Jerry, thanks so much. Please give my regard to your mom and dad.
I will.
And give my regards. And I will be back to visit before too long in the course of my travels.
Yes,
I'd love to see the place again and see what you've done with it. And keep up the courage and the strength and the joy and the love and the compassion.
My dad is actually fighting cancer right now, too. If you could just keep him in your prayers.
I heard that, and I am praying for him very, very strongly. Please
thank
let
you.
Him know that. In fact, we'll pray for him right now as we conclude our
Thank
program.
So
but I'm sure all of our viewers will join their prayers with ours. And like the Lord said, when two or three ask for something in his name, he will grant it. He will show his love. He will show his compassion. So thank you, Jerry. God bless you. And let's turn back to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for this life-saving ministry. We thank you for this ministry that reveals your heart of care and compassion. We thank you for Pastor Al and Judy Howard, who have served for so many decades in your work, Lord God, and we pray that Pastor Al will experience your healing strength, your mercy to him, give him patience as he deals with his treatments, and Lord, give him still many years of service to your kingdom and to the gospel of life. We ask you to bless Jerry as she carries out the work that she explained to us today. She has such the radiant beauty, Lord God, of your compassion shining through her words and actions. And we thank you for what she is doing. We pray for all the moms and the children that have been through the doors of his nesting place over so many years, those that are there now, and those who in your providence you know will be there in the months and years ahead of us. Send your Holy Spirit to them even now, and give them the courage always to do what is right. And bless and unite all of us, Lord God, in your work. May we never tire of proclaiming and serving your kingdom, and give success to the work of our hands, that life may always triumph over death. We ask all of this in the name of the one who conquered death and rose from the dead and reestablished life, who is the only Lord and the only Savior of humanity, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Jerry, thanks again. God bless you. And thanks to Jacob Barr for welcoming us onto this podcast, the Pro-Life Team podcast. Brothers and sisters, check out all the episodes of this great podcast. You will meet many wonderful guests like Jerry, whom we've heard from today. And you'll never get tired of watching, because there's always more hope, inspiration, and great stories about God's work in this world for life. Thank you all. Pro-Life Leader Frank Pavone here of Priests for Life. Talk to you next time.
Christ beneath and above me, Christ with me.